This is the logo of the Earth Summit. This is not a dove in their Earth Summit logo. It is a hand. And the hand is holding the world with the slogan, "In our hands," alongside of it. In whose hands? Who is the we in this motto? The hands of the world order. These elitists convened this unsaid meeting in the first place, and for a bad purpose. This video will show strong evidence that the persons running the unsaid Earth Summit are actually setting a net to place the power over the Earth and its peoples into their hands. The fourth world. No one really talks about the fourth world, do they? That's because we haven't seen the fourth world come about. I learned later that the world order refers to the coming one world government as the fourth world. World control by the world order, where there is no more first, second, and third world. Just a boundaryless planet, which is called the fourth world wilderness. Persons will be coerced through lies, drugs, fear, and pain to surrender themselves, their egos, to the collective consciousness. We will flourish with only a whimper. The world order wants to create a new society out of the ashes of chaos. A collectivist fourth world, complete with a collectivist religion, collectivist finance, and unchecked world national socialism.
"The Corruption is Real and Sickening" by Paul Kudenek, September 2024. Paul Kudenek is a journalist, essayist, and novelist who founded the Winter Oak website. With a long-term background in the English anarchist movement, he has become known since 2020 as a critic of the Great Reset agenda. His research and analysis reveals the existence of a global criminocracy, a dominant financial industrial military mafia based on the British and US empires, which is currently shifting to a multipolar BRICS-based model. Paul has also been developing an alternative political philosophy, organic radicalism, which challenges the assumptions of contemporary political culture and transcends the usual left-right categories. His recent books include The With Way, The Great Racket, Converging Against the Criminocrats, Our Quest for Freedom, and Against the Dark Enslaving Empire. You can find his work at winteroak.org.uk and paulkudenek.substack.com. Security means the security of the system. If you threaten the system, then you are a threat. Then right and wrong apply to you, and anything that you have done that appears wrong will be used to punish you. But if you support the system, then you are not a threat. Then right and wrong don't apply to you. Darren Allen, The Fire Sermon. Prologue, The Two-Way Mirror of Oppression by Paul Kudenek. Two-way mirror must be one of the most misleading terms in the English language. It is defined by the dictionary as a half-silvered sheet of glass that functions as a mirror when viewed from one side, but is translucent from the other. It is therefore not so much two-way as doubly one way, both in terms of its role as a mirror and as a window. The most obvious use of this one-way, two-way device is to spy on people. Behind what appears to be an ordinary mirror in a hotel or an interview room, hide people who are watching what is going on without their victim's knowledge or consent. If one imagines the spying device as horizontal rather than vertical, it makes an excellent metaphor for the society in which we currently live. Up above sit those who designed the mirror, watching from the translucent side every last movement made by their prey. Down below are those who pour their life energy into increasing the wealth and power of the parasite class. All they see above them is a mirror, which seems to confirm that their little prison world is all that there is. If sometimes they find their lives slightly unpleasant, unhealthy, unnatural, and restricted, this is, they tell themselves, a reflection of something that simply exists by itself and for which they have to accept their fair share of collective responsibility. It is, quote, today's society, or that person or party voted into power where they live. If more general factors are identified and blamed, these will be apparently neutral phenomena, such as a pandemic, climate change, terrorism, or some other vague, quote, threat. Because when they look up, they see only the mirrored side of the glass. They are incapable of seeing that the things they don't like are being deliberately inflicted on them by a hidden group of rulers. Even the idea that there could be any such people behind the mirror of society will not enter into the minds of many. So this horizontal mirror acts against our interests in, appropriately enough, two ways. It allows the ruling mafia to spy on every detail of our lives, and it hides that same mafia from view. There are no two ways about it. Some mirrors are meant to be smashed. When the truth appears, it is received with astonishment or horror. Most people will do anything they can to not have to hear it. They will avoid anything or anyone who reminds them of it. You can tell how much someone lies to themselves by how quick they are to get upset or angry when they hear the truth. Darren Allen, The Fire Sermon. The Corruption is Real and Sickening, by Paul Kudinek. The difference between conspiracy realists and conspiracy deniers is, of course, that the latter never question anything, never think for themselves, never do their own research. They simply lap up every last drop of drivel and delusion presented to them, including the laughable conceit that in so doing, they are proving themselves somehow more advanced, more adult, more astute than those tinfoil hat-wearing idiots who dare challenge official top-down truth. As they remain rooted to their theatre seats, stuffing their faces with propaganda popcorn and fizzy fakery, their scientifically sealed minds cannot even grasp the possibility that others might have taken the initiative to have a peek backstage and work out what the spectacle is all about. We don't suppose there are many conspiracy deniers watching this, but just in case one or two have wandered in by mistake, here are some more stones to look under. If you can find the courage to face the reality of the seething, maggot-infested corruption that lies beneath the surface of our society, first of all, have a look at a Hedley Reese Inside Pharma blog and what he describes as the latest Big Pharma feeding frenzy. He points us to the existence of an annual JP Morgan healthcare conference, which will next be held in San Francisco in January 2025. Its website states, "This premier conference is the largest and most informative healthcare investment symposium in the industry, which connects global industry leaders, emerging fast-growth companies, innovative technology creators, and members of the investment community." JP Morgan is, as set out in Enemies of the People, a long-standing front for the Rothschilds, those leading members of, quote, the investment community, who have long been involved in profiting from biotech and the grotesquely misnamed healthcare industry. As also reported in Enemies of the People, International Biotechnology Trust, a division of Rothschilds, says on its website that it offers investors access to the fast-growing biotechnology sector. Predictably, in view of the Rothschilds' intimacy with UK governments, their biotech wing was involved in the country's, quote, response to COVID. International Biotechnology Trust proudly relates that its investment manager, Kate Bingham, was in May 2020 appointed chair of the UK Vaccine Task Force, reporting to the Prime Minister to lead UK efforts to find and manufacture a COVID-19 vaccine on a six-month engagement. It says, on December 8, 2020, the UK started COVID-19 vaccinations, the first Western country to do so. Bingham was awarded a Dame Commander of the Order of the British Empire and the Queen's Birthday Honours in June 2021 for services to the procurement, manufacture and distribution of COVID-19 vaccines. One of the most prominent UK enthusiasts for the COVID jabs, vaccine passports and the digital ID to which they were designed to lead, is former Prime Minister Tony Blair.
We need now completely to reconsider our strategy in order to get the whole country vaccinated much, much faster. We should be, as soon as the vaccines are available, we should be getting them to people and using them. What could be a way that you could vaccinate the entire population in a matter of weeks? This is why I think you've got to treat this vaccination program differently now. It's literally the only way out of a severe lockdown.
In June 2022, Blair was the main speaker at a conference on the future of Britain, hosted with the organisation My Life, My Say, by the Institute of Global Health Innovation at Imperial College London.
We can't afford to continue as we are. We need to plan and prepare for a new world, and this is our way of starting.
In investigating My Life, My Say, the UK column's Ben Rubin discovered that trustee Glenn Manning was a senior banker with Rothschilds & Company. Blair himself, after resigning from British politics in January 2008, joined the Rothschilds JP Morgan Chase in a, quote, senior advisory capacity on a modest salary of £2.52 million per year. A thank you, perhaps, for having led the UK into the invasion of Iraq in 2003, among many other invaluable services to the money power.
Sorry about that.
Blair is very keen on the, quote, modernisation of public services in the UK, including, of course, the National Health Service. This would involve personal data being held centrally in a new NHS cloud infrastructure, and used as a collective national asset to help our life science sector to be world-leading.
Marvellous.
In the light of all that, it is hardly surprising to see that the key speaker at the 2024 JP Morgan Healthcare Conference was none other than, quote, the Right Honourable Tony Blair, Executive Chairman of the Institute for Global Change. We can echo Ben Rubin's warning that Tony Blair is coordinating with the Rothschild family to fundamentally reshape British society and implement a global digital slave state. Of course, for the probably imaginary conspiracy-denying watchers, this will all no doubt be seen as a meaningless series of complete coincidences. So perhaps they could also take a peek at the article, You Will Know Nothing and Be Happy, from Australian researcher Warren Ross about the climate scam, rightly describing this as a whole new area of investment and opportunity for the billionaire class. He notes that BlackRock are eager to fill as much of the space as they can and have proved their commitment to this by purchasing infrastructure investment fund Global Infrastructure Partners. He adds, ESG, or environmental, social and governance compliance, is used by companies like BlackRock to direct investment away from companies that choose not to comply or don't comply with sufficient zealotry. BlackRock is part of the Rothschilds empire.
The smaller institutional investors are owned by larger investors, who in turn belong to even larger investors. The visible top of this pyramid consists of only two companies, and we have seen their names many times by now. They are Vanguard and BlackRock. The power of these two companies is something we can barely imagine. Not only are they the largest institutional investors of every major company on Earth, they also own the other institutional investors of those companies, giving them a complete monopoly.
In addition, as noted in Enemies of the People, Edmund de Rothschild was the key player behind the World Conservation Bank, later renamed Global Environment Facility.
Who leads the environment movement? The convener of the summit, Maurice Strong, identifies Baron Edmund de Rothschild as the creator of the environment movement. Here are his own words describing Rothschild as the positive synthesis of environment on the one hand and growth and development on the other.
The Corbett Report has explained that the idea for an international, quote, conservation bank had been around for some time before France put forward a formal proposal at a joint ministerial meeting of the International Monetary Fund in 1989. The project was put under the umbrella of the World Bank, and by 1991, the World Conservation Bank was formally established. The article adds that the Global Environment Facility has made and co-financed tens of billions of dollars worth of grants and is the funding mechanism for 5 different UN conventions, including the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change. As well as establishing so-called protected areas, it has funded Chinese companies producing solar cells and wind farm technology. The reality that conspiracy deniers cannot bear to see, and that those in power want to keep hidden, is that our society is dominated by one single giant global organization. We have seen this time and time again through all the joined dots, all the revolving doors, and all the zigzagging public-private career paths that are incomprehensible unless they amount to a series of internal transfers within one single entity. This mega organization is not one that aims to do good for us or for our world, which is why it has to take such pains to conceal its existence and its activities. It's an unimaginably vast, ruthless, greedy, destructive crime syndicate, which has grabbed control by means of lies and usury, blackmail and bribery, manipulation and murder. The sooner we all wake up to this nauseating reality and get together to do something about it, the better. If you enjoyed this video, please visit supportdrsam.com.